Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
It's Wednesday.
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 That's how it's spelled.
It is how it's spelled. I'm glad you
know
how to
spell it. On my screen right here in front of me, in case I forget what day of the week it is. It is Wednesday, May
2nd. I'm glad you can read and write, Andy.
Well, I have many people to thank for that. That was a good segue. Very good. I see what you did right there.
I thought about that all morning.
That was a really good segue. You thought about that all morning. Many people to thank for my ability to read and write. I'm grateful to my parents, but also the many great teachers that I've had along the way. Still have teachers to this day.
Yes.
Because I am the perpetual student.
Yes,
you are. Just like you.
Yeah.
You know, I like teachers.
I do too. Lots
and
of fun.
You know
memories.
What's coming up next week? I believe it's May 8th, I think. May 8th, is that Teacher Appreciation Day? I know that's it's coming up next week. Do you have a teacher that that you really appreciate, whether it's from, you know, your past and you're an adult now, or maybe your child's teacher? Ooh. Give us a call and leave a message on our listener comment line. We'd like to hear your favorite teacher story, what you're grateful to your teachers for. 314-996-1542. 314-996-1542 is our listener comment line. Tell us your favorite teacher story. And you could also email us if you want to email your story, coffee@kfuo.org. I know that's a fun email. Yes. And speaking of education, we have two things. First, the folks at Concordia University, Wisconsin, thank you for providing outstanding higher education and also supporting the Coffee Hour here on KFUO. Find out more about them at cuw.edu. And I'll let you introduce our next guest.
Yeah, we are going to our alma mater, Concordia University, Chicago. We have joining us Doris Knuth, who is the... Oh, man, I said her name wrong and you had it right.
Knuth.
I apologize, Doris. Doris Knuth, Director Emeritus of Concordia's Early Childhood Center, with us to talk about early childhood education. So welcome, Doris.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being on there.
Absolutely. And so we're talking about early childhood education and how that applies in this culture in these days with the news that can be a little scary sometimes, and social media, how all of that shapes early childhood education and teachers, and what are these challenges, or are there unique challenges for early childhood educators in a Lutheran setting these days?
Well, I think part of what we do as educators is to create an environment for those children who come into our centers and our schools that is safe, and a place where they know that they can be who they are. And we also, though, want to also let them understand that they're not alone in this growing up world and things that are going on. We want them to find that hope and that optimism to grow and to learn and to see what they can do as they grow into adults. And this starts from, you know, infancy all the way through their education. So they can be a part of what they can do for the world as well.
What's important to you in shaping the educators, the early childhood educators?
What's important for me is to make a strong connection to children, to their families, to the other people that I work with, so that we're all working together as a team, that we all are there to help. You know, children always come first. So we're always there to help them grow and learn and supporting what the families need to do as well.
Is ongoing education or continuing education important for early childhood educators?
Yes. Yes, it is, because things are always changing. What we know now about brain research, we didn't know 10 years ago. And so part of it is always what's the research is, because early childhood education is all research-based. So there are people out there doing this research continually. And besides, if they're in schools, technically ongoing professional development is kind of required. So they do need to go out and find those new ideas, those innovative things, those best practices to bring back to their programs.
And Concordia University Chicago has a long history of early childhood education and continuing education. And this year in August, it's the 42nd annual Early Childhood Conference. Can you give us a little brief history of this conference, what the need was for this 42 years ago and how that still continues today?
Well, I think when they started the conference, it was just what we wanted to do is we had to wanted to help those teachers that are out in the schools to understand what they're doing. First of all, to support what they're doing, let them know that what they're doing is what's best for children. And what more can we do to get across the message to those children? And so just when it started, it was just like a half a day. It was in the middle of the week, and then it was on. And then I used to do it in February, and then they've moved it to different times. So it has been in August for a number of years, and we are celebrating our 42nd year.
And this year, it's embracing a new kind of normal, equipping our children for today's world. What kinds of topics or focus sessions will the teachers be able to experience this year?
Well, I think part of it is helping children become excited for their future, hope for the future, being optimistic in our culture. But that is, we find that in like social emotional development, we find that in making relationships, in understanding civility, acceptance. But we also can make that happen in all those content areas like music and literacy, art, science, math. Those can get communicated across the whole continuum. So it's not just, okay, we're going to talk about being, you know, humble or being having hope this time, but now we're just going to talk about numbers. We want to be able to get it all connected and integrated.
So how are you going to dig into that at this conference, the Early Childhood Conference at Concordia University Chicago? Who will be presenting? What are the topics that they'll be presenting on?
We have actually 39 people who will be presenting at our conference this year. And so in those presentations do range across the continuum. Some of the conferences are how do we deal our social emotional, how do we deal with conflict, how do we deal with fear, how do we connect, how do we help children connect their feelings and work through those things. But we also want to be able to utilize what can we use in movement that or music that can help them understand their bodies better. We do have these sessions that are for infants all the way through primary grades up to grade 3. A lot of it is talking about different kinds of teaching, like constructivist theory, where it's a lot of hands-on activities, helping them understand how the world works, making connections to science and math, and how where they fit into that whole idea of them. We also have people talking about creativity, curriculum, and you know, growing up with science and how science can help us in how we grow and learn.
Sometimes when we think of education, we think of all the typical subjects we cover in school. You know, reading,
writing, arithmetic.
Right. All of those subjects. But you know, you mentioned learning about emotions, and now a parent of a 4-year-old learning that it's important to help your child learn to articulate, to speak about those emotions. You know, something that we just take for granted that as adults we forget about. You know how important it is to help your child learn how to articulate those emotions. So I'm glad that that's one of the topics that's being covered in the workshop, helping teachers work with children in expressing emotion and how to do that in a way that's helpful.
Right, and I think that a lot of times when your child, let's say your child starts crying about something for us, that doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. Oh, you know, somebody took your toy. I know you're fine. You'll be fine. But right there in the moment, the child who's upset is not fine. So we need to just actually validate those feelings for children. Whereas in adults, we say it's not that big a deal. We have another truck, or you know, we can get to it later, and understand where they're coming from, so that they can at least know that they're being heard, and that they can then be able to understand feelings of others.
And that's something that we've touched on before on other programs, how children express themselves very differently than adults, and how they learn through things like play and music and hands-on activities, how those things actually do help them to understand themselves and emotions and connecting with other people, something that we as adults don't necessarily, mm-hmm. We're past that stage or something, but that is a very important thing for children to be able to learn through hands-on play.
Right, and I think it helps give them ownership of their learning. It helps them to create that aha moment, the one that they made the connection of why that block doesn't fall over anymore because I was able to figure that out. Mm-hmm. It increases that ability for them to problem solve.
Ah, problem solving.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we're working on right now, too, asking when at home, when something happens that seems unfavorable, like I can't get my shoe on or you know, I can't get this open or can't get, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Is my question.
Right.
What do you think you could do? What could you do? If you can't do that, what could you do? Always aiming for, you know, what can you do and trying to find other options. Well, it sounds like an exciting workshop. It sounds like a conference with lots of workshops within the conference, lots of opportunities for early childhood educators. Anyone else that this might be a helpful event for?
Well, we do have a number, we do reach a number of Lutheran schools for sure, mm-hmm. other private schools, public schools too, including early childhood centers and then also grade schools. But we do have some people who will come for who are like child psychologists, social workers, speech pathologists, people mm-hmm. trying to meet the needs of the people that they work with. Our keynote speaker, Carol Kent, is also very understanding about how we can incorporate all of these things that we do in what field we are, whether we're the social worker or the speech person, in bringing that gift of excitement and optimism and hope to the children.
Very good, very good. Is there? We'll provide a link to the website today. Is there a phone number or any other information you'd like for us to share as we wrap up today?
Well, the web on Concordia's website is the will be posted the workshops, all the workshop sessions, the form for filling out and sending in to register for that. If you register early, it's less expensive. I'm scrolling down right now. It's about $110. If you register before July. We also have Horizon is coming to do some musical work for us too during this session. A lot of open-ended activities and a lot of networking with other people that you in your field. But technically the university's phone number, let me see, I got to scroll right down to this, will be able to help you to get
on 708-209-3024 is what I see on there. Doris Knuth, thanks so much for being our guest on the Coffee Hour today.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciated it.
Coming up in just a little bit, we get to share a missionary story. We had an opportunity to visit in studio. Sarah and I had an opportunity to visit with Ted Cray. He serves in the Dominican Republic. He's the regional director for the Latin America and the Caribbean region of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
It was a fun interview.
Stick around. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Gilseth.